How many celebrated the 4th of July? 4th of July. How many ate a hot dog? How many had a hamburger? How many all splurged for steak? Cooked out on the grill? Had the family surrounding you? 4th of July, that's what we do, right? We get together, we eat, we set off fireworks. Some of us fly jets over the country and bring in tanks and to show that respect that day. But so why do we celebrate 4th of July? This is real quick. I wanted to do this before, but guess what? We weren't here. So Dusty's going to hand something out with the help of a couple of ushers. He's handing out $2 bills. Why are you giving everybody? I want everybody to have a $2 bill. Why are you giving us $2 bills? Well, I want you to turn that $2 bill over and look at the backside. Because on the backside of that $2 bill it's artwork, I guess. Someone that has created an image of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And so if you celebrate the 4th of July, if you enjoy your cookouts, the reason you were doing that on that day is to celebrate the independence of this country from a tyrannical monarchy at that time of England. And so there were 27 grievances that were filed against the king. I'm not going to go into those 27 grievances, but there's a reason why this country had to pull itself away from that governing body of England. And I submit to you, it's not for those 27 grievances that were filed. I believe it was for something higher, a higher purpose. I believe there was something spiritual about the separation of this country from the monarchy at that time in England that... think about it. The reason that some of the first settlers came over here was for religious freedom. Because in England, your religion had to be of the state, state religion, and they forced that on people. And so when people came over here and settled in this country, they came with high ideals of freedom of religion. And we have secured some of that, I believe, in this country. I'm not saying that this country has done everything right. By no means. But the one thing I can say is we have freedom to assemble and worship God as we see fit. So for me, that is the first and foremost reason why we should be celebrating the 4th of July, is because we have freedom to worship the one true God. Amen. The one true God. So this is just a reminder. Someone donated these and wanted to remain anonymous, but wanted to bless y'all with that. I hope that you hold on to them. I hope you don't go and buy bubble gum with them as soon as you leave here. But hold on to them. Keep that somewhere where you can refer to it often, I hope. And, and there are a lot of things happen. This is not going to be a history lesson about the 4th of July, but, a lot of things happened with those original signers, the people that orchestrated I hate it when I can't think of a word. But anyways, planned the documentation, the Congress and all that they put together, the Constitution, that was all directed. I believe these people were anointed to do that. We're the longest standing republic, democratic republic, ever of all time. And I believe that they had foresight, not in their own estimation, but because I believe they were submitted to God and anointed for the task. And remember, God can use anybody he sees fit. Guess what? That means you and me as well. No matter what you're going through, no matter what station of life you're in, No matter what is attacking you, no matter what, where you think you are, God can use you and me to make a change in people's lives. So anyways, that's my mini history lesson on the 4th of July. I hope you're blessed by those $2 bills. I thought it was an awesome idea, just as a reminder of why we do what we do. Sometimes we do things in life and we don't even know why we're doing it. Right? It might be out of tradition. You might be coming here today because your parents did it, their parents did it, their parents did it. And thank God they created that legacy in you, but I hope that's not the only reason you're here today. I hope the reason that you're here today is because you have relationship with the one true God, because that's what He wants above all else, is relationship. Amen? Well, how many enjoyed Wanda last week?
Amen.
Amen. How many want to hear her sing? Reggie said, I want to hear that. Put that out. Put that on. Hey, you done declared it. You know, you might be singing one time when you minister. Who knows? Who knows? But I listened to her, and one thing... that stood out, one comment she made that stood out to me: prayer comes out of relationship. Prayer comes out of relationship. Let me tell you, if you don't have a relationship with Father God, I don't know that your prayers are going to be very effective. Because the Word says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Righteous man. Someone in right standing with God. Someone that has a relationship with God. And I'm talking intimate relationship. I'm not talking just knowing God, right? Word says even the demons know God. I'm talking about a knowing, an intimate, like a spouse knowing their spouse. That intimate, that is the relationship that God wants to have with you. That's the relationship He had with Adam and Eve in the garden before the fall. He had that intimate, personal relationship. He would commune with them, talk with them in the cool of the day. And we all know the story, right? Adam bowed his knee, or Eve gave in, and Adam gave in. And, you know, then the Lord was asking where they were, and they were hidden because they were ashamed of their nakedness. They bowed their knee to the Father of lies and introduced sin into the world. But He wants relationship. That's what He wanted in the garden. That's what He wants now, is relationship. And I hope that you take that seriously. And that's why I think that the Holy Spirit has had me just hammering home, going deeper with Him. And why He had y'all investing time in the book of Romans. And I believe His... I won't say it's a command. I think it's a strong suggestion that we go into the other epistles of Paul and learn about what he was trying to communicate to the body of Christ. Because it's for us. This entire bound word right here is for us. Every jot, every tittle, every mark, every crossed T is for us. Every single one of them. And we need to take that seriously. We need to understand that. And we need to study it. The Bible says to study to show yourself approved. Right? Are we studying to show ourselves approved? Are we instant in season and out of season? Do we have a word for someone? At the ready. At the ready. Marilyn was telling me about... She had two testimonies she was telling me about. And one was she, I believe, is a word of knowledge that came through her for a particular person. And she told them a certain thing was going to happen. And it came to pass. That comes out of a relationship with the Father. This is what we're here to do. Prayer comes out of relationship. Not only prayer, I would say, but everything is established by having a relationship with the Father. Let me say that again. Everything is established by having a relationship with the Father. Amen. How is your relationship? I'm sure there's tools out there. I know there is for like marriage, you know, you can take a little test and gauge your relationship, how your marriage is. And I wonder if there's something out there for how is your relationship with God, a little test. I'm sure there is some tool that man has made up. But I can tell you this, just get in this word right here, and the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you pretty quickly where your relationship is and how it is. Amen? If we submit ourselves to the Lord, that is our relationship. When we do, I think we have discernment for every situation. Discernment, just like Marilyn, discernment to speak into that person's life. Discernment, you know, to speak a word over someone. How many of you, and this has happened to me more times than I can count, and I thank God for each and every time that it's happened. How many of you were just at a point of sorrow, of almost giving up or giving in, and someone came by and spoke a word to you, an encouraging word, a kind word, prayed for you, sowed into your life in some way? It changes things, doesn't it? That's how we're to be in this earth. Always ready. Instant, in season and out of season, with a kind word, a word of encouragement. So that we can build up the body of Christ, not tear it down. Build it up. Encourage one another. Show love to one another. Discernment for every situation. When we have discernment, it brings restoration. Discernment brings restoration. Whether it's a timely word to someone, it brings restoration to them in that moment. I can tell you there are times, and I've told you before, I just didn't want to do this anymore. And now, listen to me. I understand this is a thought of the enemy trying to come in and steal the plan that God has for my life. But there have been times when I said, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do it. But then someone came along, a laborer, come up beside me and didn't even know it, encouraged me, said something that just completely changed the course of my thought and got me back on the right path, back in line, back in alignment with my assignment. And gave me just what I needed at that moment to continue on. Anybody been there? That's why it's so important to have discernment and be obedient when we hear, to do what we hear. If we know it's of God, be obedient to do it, because you don't know who's dependent on that. You don't know. You don't know the power you have inside of you to change a situation, to change a mind, someone that's going down a dark path, to get them back on the path of light. Timely word, obedience. We all miss it. I've missed it more times than I want to count. We all miss it. There are times when a word comes. I shared this, and I'll share it again, that woman that we saw in McDonald's back in Florida. Nikki went to school with this girl years and years and years ago. Years and years and years ago. But she was tormented. Tormented with a demon. I know she was. Sitting there all by herself in McDonald's talking to herself. You would see her walking the streets, talking to herself all the time. And that word came and said, if you will go and lay hands on her, I will deliver her from that torment. And I didn't do it. We all miss it. Has anybody else had opportunities like that? And they just missed it, and you just beat yourself all up? Well, you can't. Because I believe that God spoke to someone else and they went and shared the gospel with that girl. And I just believe she's set free and delivered. Even though I was disobedient, I didn't do what I was supposed to. God will speak to the rocks and they'll cry out. Another thing that I heard one minister was, don't tolerate devastation anymore. Did you say that or did you read that out of the book? You're not going to take credit for it? Okay. Don't tolerate devastation anymore. We're in a time of in the history of the earth where I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about Christians, born-again believers. We have to take up our rightful place. And we, for too long, it's like the statement I made in the beginning, I'm not going to allow my circumstances to determine my attitude anymore. I don't want my joy stolen. I don't want whatever, because things are going to go on around us. I don't know about you. I don't know anybody in here got the perfect life. Nothing ever happens to them. Nothing bad. Nothing wrong. You never run across any bad attitudes. You never have one yourself. Listen, things happen. We're in this world. We're not of it, but we're in it. Things are going to happen. Tribulations are going to come. Trials are going to come. But how we deal with them is the key. And how you deal with them depends wholly on your relationship with God. I know you know what I'm talking about. Because I know there's been days when you've been fellowshipping with God, you've been, whatever, praying, reading your word, having conversation with someone else, and some things come up and you can handle them, right? You just, I mean, it's like you just sail right through it. And then there are other times when, you've been away from fellowship for a little bit too long, and those same scenarios can happen, and they devastate you. It's time to move from that devastation to restoration. And I believe the only way you're going to do it is through the relationship with God Almighty. What is your relationship? What is your relationship? You want things to manifest in your life? Good things? Then start speaking them into existence. Turn to Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48. Let me read out of the King James first, and then I'll read out of the Amplified as well in verse 3. It says, I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth where? Out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. God spoke them out of his mouth. And suddenly they came to pass. Let me read that out of the Amplified. It says, I have declared from the beginning the former things which happened in times past to Israel. They went forth from my mouth, and I made them known. Then suddenly I did them. And they came to pass, says the Lord. Are you and I not created in the image of God? Do y'all understand that you are created in the image of God? Do you understand that by adoption you are children of Abraham? Because you've been grafted in. You were the wild olive branch grafted in to the original olive tree, that being the Jewish nation. We can all say we're Jews. Isn't that something cool? We are spiritual Zion. We are spiritual Jerusalem. If you're a born-again believer in God, you have an inheritance with Father Abraham. The blessing of Abraham. You have access to the blessing of Abraham as a born-again child of God. And here he's saying, and I love the way, I believe Pastor Rob, and I don't know if he got it or from someone else or quoted it himself, but declaration precedes manifestation. Declaration. What you declare out of your mouth comes before what manifests in your life. Your words are important, in other words. What you are speaking, man, what you, not only about other people, what you are speaking about yourself is so important. I mean, I know we just say things off the cuff, like if we do something, oh, you stupid idiot, or something like that, talking to ourselves. No, don't say that. Don't do that. Get in the habit, oh, well, I'll do better next time. Don't speak those things over yourself. Don't speak those things over other people. Don't do it. Declaration precedes manifestation. Or we could say declaration precedes restoration. Declaration precedes restoration. You can change the atmosphere with your words. And I know Wanda talked about this some last week. Bringing restoration into your life through your words and the words that you speak. And, you know, I can't remember the last time that I talked about the power of your words. But it ought to be something we talk about regularly. Because I believe it's I'm not going to say the number one way that the enemy uses. I mean, he uses a lot of subtle things, and we give him too much credit, I know. But our words are a big one. If he can deceive you and get hold of your tongue, man, the damage that can be done. What does the word say? This one spark, this one kindle can put a flame, a whole forest, the evil in it. So your words are extremely important. Extremely important. We need to understand that. Amen? Let's see here. Wow. Change the atmosphere with your words. Restore things in your life with the words of your mouth. And the cool thing is you don't have to think them up. You don't have to conjure them up in your mind. They're all laid out for you right there in print. Some of them are even in red to bring attention to them. You don't have to think them up. Just confess what the Word says about your situation. And trust me, the Word covers every situation you could ever encounter. Jesus was tempted in all ways. He's a high priest that is not unfamiliar with the things that we go through. Because he went through them himself. You think your life seems cursed? Anybody ever been there before? One bad thing happened right after another. Just keeps coming. You can't even get your head above water, and another wave's coming to push you down. Anybody been there? Start confessing that you're blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed of the Most High. I am blessed. Turn to Deuteronomy. Just read Deuteronomy, man. You can go to Deuteronomy 28, and if that don't lift you up in your time of need. That don't, what'd they say? Light your fire, your wood must be wet. Because listen to this. I want to read this. I want to read 28 and verse 1. I'm going to read out of King James because I like speaking King James English. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel and say unto them, my offering and my bread for my sacrifices made by fire for a sweet savor unto me shall ye observe to offer unto me in their due season. This is not where I'm at. Why'd y'all turn to Numbers when I said go to Deuteronomy? You're like, how did you get through that many lines without knowing you were there? Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." I know he's talking to Israel, but we are spiritual Israel. Every blessing that is available to the nation of Israel is available to us as born-again children of God. You've got to understand that. Not only understand it, you've got to believe it. Not only believe it, you've got to confess it and speak it. Amen? Verse 2, "And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall take thee plenteous in goods, make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them." Three times he said, if you will do all that he commands you to do, he will bestow all those blessings on you. All those blessings. You need to be confessing those blessings over your life. But while you're doing that, you need to be doing all his commandments. But what all are his commandments? He made it so easy for us. Listen, I've said it over and over. The gospel's easy. We're the ones that make it difficult. What commandments did he give us, Jesus, with the new covenant? You got it. Two simple commands. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you observe and do those commandments, the blessings. We all want the blessings, don't we? How many want the blessings? We all want the blessings, but we don't want to do what's required to get them sometimes. Or we make it hard. We make it hard, and it's not hard. It's not hard to love your neighbor. It's not hard to show love. It's not hard to love God. We make it hard. Mankind, our human frailty, makes it hard, and it's not. So the catch is verse 1 and then two other times. And when, again, anytime they repeat something in the Hebraic language, they're emphasizing it. So if he repeated it three times that we're to do all his commandments, then you better stand up and take notice. So if we obey the voice of the Lord and do all He commands, the blessings will flow because we are under that new covenant of grace. Oh my. And all His commandments are love. Love God, love people, right? I mean, let's just break it down. Love God, love people. How many love everybody they see and talk to? You can love them and not agree with them. Right? You can love them and not love what they're doing. Because we're not wrestling with the flesh and blood. We're not loving the act that they are caught in or doing, but we love the person, the soul. Covenant of grace. I know it sounds easy, but if it were easy, I don't think we would need grace. But boy, do I need it. How many else need it? Grace. Discernment of His grace. Discernment of His grace is what brings restoration. When we discern His grace, it brings restoration to our lives. Here's a quick definition of discernment. The quality of being able to grasp and comprehend what is obscure. An act of perceiving something. That's Webster's definition. Remember Paul whining? Remember when he started whining to God about the thorn in his flesh? And then, you know, I'm being dramatic. Oh God, why do I have this thorn in my flesh? I don't think he sounded like that. But what did the Lord say to him? My grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is sufficient for us. No matter what we're going through in our life, no matter what we're up against, no matter what trial, what temptation comes, His grace is sufficient for you. And that's what He told Paul. My grace. Let's just read that. 2 Corinthians. I believe this is going to minister to someone today. As it should. As every word spoken. The word of truth should minister to us all. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. I'll read out of the Amplified. And this is Paul speaking. He's talking to the church at Corinth. He said, "And to keep me from being puffed up and too much elated by the exceeding greatness, preeminence of these revelations, there was given me a thorn, a splinter in the flesh, a messenger of Satan." Who gave the thorn? Satan, the devil, your enemy, the accuser of the brethren. It was not God that gave him this thorn. He was a messenger of Satan. In the flesh, a messenger of Satan to rack and buffet and harass me to keep me from being excessively exalted. 3 times I called upon the Lord and besought Him about this and begged that it might depart from me. I think there's a key right there. Anytime that you feel that you have to beg, you're probably not in the will of God or you're probably not in right relationship with Him. Because we don't have to beg. Your prayers ought not be prayers of begging. Someone need to hear that today. We don't have to beg for what is already ours. Okay? We have to apply what is already ours. And there's a difference there. There's a difference. 3 times I called upon the Lord and besought Him about this and begged that it might depart from me. But he said to me, my grace, my favor and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you. It's sufficient against any danger and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. For my strength and power are made perfect. They're fulfilled and completed and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weaknesses and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ the Messiah may rest, yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. So, for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecutions, perplexities, and distresses. For when I am weak in human strength, then I am truly strong, able, powerful in divine strength. See, Paul in the moment couldn't perceive or grasp, as that word discernment means. He couldn't in that moment grasp or perceive the grace on his life by the blood of Jesus and what the blood bought and how the finished work of the cross applied to him. And we do the same thing, don't we? We don't comprehend or grasp it in the moment. That his grace is sufficient for us. He's done it all. He's provided all. Everything we have need of to weather any storm, he has done it. I know there are people sitting here today that are going through some storms of life. And you think sometimes to yourselves, what is going on? Why is this happening? Don't beg in your prayer, but apply the authority that's been given to you through the blood of Jesus as a born-again believer. You have access to the throne of the Most High God that created the universe and everything in it. Understand your righteousness. Grow in your understanding of your righteousness. You were made righteous the day you got born again. What his grace has provided through faith in his Son. Unmerited favor. That means undeserved. You didn't get what you deserved. You got something so much better. Because of the sin of Adam, you didn't get what you deserved. You got something so much better because of the obedience of Jesus. Amen? I just sense a heaviness in here today. And I think it's a sign of the times that we are in. And I don't know if it's because we give too much attention to the things that are happening around us, or we don't give enough attention to God. I don't know which it is. It may be different for each person. It may be a mixture of the two. But the time is now to throw off all the cares of the world. I'm not saying don't operate in the world, but to cast off the cares of this world, to seek the things of God. Because He has wonderful things planned for your life. Wonderful things. Tremendous things. Things that you can't even comprehend or see. And if you'll submit yourself to that, if you'll change the words of your mouth, I'm telling you, your life will change. Those circumstances will change. when we understand who we are in Christ. Cast off the cares. Cast off the cares. Change the words of your mouth. Say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Say with conviction, I am blessed. Beyond all measure. Isn't that a song? You are. You're blessed. You're blessed of the Most High. You're blessed to be a blessing. And don't forget it. Don't let the enemy falsely accuse you of anything else, anything different. You are blessed by the Most High. He has His hand upon you. Oh. Covering you with His wings. Like a mother hen gathering her chicks to herself. He loves you. God loves you, make no mistake. He loves you more than anything else. You are His prize. You are His heritage. He loves you. No matter what you've done, where you've been, how you've acted, what you've said, He loves you, He loves you, He loves you. And nothing can change that but you and your perception. Because you are righteous in His eyes. But you have to understand your righteousness. Amen?
Amen?
I hope that encouraged someone today. Like I said, it's so good to be back. And I love you guys. I miss you when we're gone. I do. I miss you. It's like there's a piece of me missing when we're not here. And I just want you to know, there are times when I believe the enemy comes in to accuse and say, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Who are you to think that you can do this? But I want to tell you, there have been times where people, and some of you right here, that have encouraged me in those moments and have allowed me to continue. And I don't take that for granted. I don't take any person here for granted. I appreciate and love you all tremendously. I pray for you. I am believing God for good things in your life. But most of all, I want you to be victorious in your life. I don't want you to live in condemnation. I don't want you to live downtrodden and beat up all the time and feeling like you can't get ahead. I want you to experience that abundant life that Jesus died to give you. He paid a tremendous price to give it to you. You need to receive it. Appropriate it to your life. Live in victory. Amen? Well, glory be to God. I think we're gonna leave it right there. I think we're going to leave it right there. I hope you've been encouraged today. But before you go, I want to give you opportunity to give. And let me just share a little bit about giving. We've talked about discernment about grace, discernment about restoration. How many want restoration in their finances? That's an area of life that the enemy uses to attack us on a regular basis. On a regular basis. Well, I believe you can have favor in your finances. I do. I do that. Luke 6:38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, I know all y'all don't speak King James English, so... says, for with the measure you deal out, with the measure you use when you confer benefits on others, it will be measured back to you. Listen, we don't give to get. That's not what we do. We don't give to get. But according to the Word, it is a byproduct of giving. You get as a byproduct of giving. You don't give to get. But you get as a byproduct. It's kind of like oxygen. How many know what plants eat? If I can put it that way. Carbon dioxide. How many know what they produce after they eat the carbon dioxide? Oxygen. How many know what we need as humans to live? Oxygen. Isn't that amazing? The plants thrive on carbon dioxide, and that's what they're sustaining themselves with. But a byproduct of that is oxygen. And we benefit from oxygen. Well, as you give, you're not giving to produce the getting. In other words, they're not consuming the carbon dioxide to produce the oxygen. They're consuming the carbon dioxide to live. You are giving, and a byproduct of your giving is getting, according to the Word. That's not Todd. That's the Word. I'm not trying to compel you. I'm just trying to give you truth. When we consume oxygen, what do we breathe out? Carbon dioxide. Isn't that cool how God created that little symbiotic relationship between plant and man? Come on, those people that don't think there's a God, how can you not? Let's look at creation. In fact, the Word says you'll see Him through His creation. My goodness. That's awesome. A little fun fact. Do y'all know where most... This has nothing to do with your giving. Do you know where most of the oxygen is produced? The forest? Anybody else? Huh? Water? I thought Amazon rainforest. It has to be the Amazon rainforest, right? Because they got all those big, gigantic trees. It's the smallest thing you can imagine. Whales eat it. It's phytoplankton. It's algae. It's in the ocean. It's in the water. You were good. That's good. Isn't that cool? I don't know. Just what does that have to do with anything? That is a fun fact. Now you know the oceans produce most of the oxygen that we breathe. It's not the forest, so I apologize ahead of time if I've offended any tree people. I witnessed firsthand global warming when I saw them icebergs floating down. No, okay, I won't go there. We're going to keep politics out of the church. We're going to influence them, though. How do we influence them? With your voice. Your voice. Speaking the truth of God. Everywhere you go, speak the truth, and things will change. The truth is what changes things. Don't believe the lie. Speak the truth. Amen? Are y'all ready to give? All right. Ushers. Everywhere we go. I know that's contrary to popular opinion about, you know, you always have in business, oh, I'm putting out fires. Well, we're starting them. We're going to be fire starters. Amen? Amen? I encourage you this week, everywhere you go, be a fire starter. Start a fire wherever you go that no man will be able to put out. Amen? It's like an open door. Everywhere you go, walk through that open door. Start a fire. Put a fire of God in people's heart. Give them something to think about, at least. At least give somebody something to think about. Amen. You ain't got to convert them right there on the spot. Just give them something to think about. And let the Holy Spirit do the work. Yes. Amen? Can we do that, church?
Yes.
Can we be fire starters?
Amen.
Wherever we go,
amen.
All you got to do is kindle a little flame. And let the Holy Spirit just add fuel to it. That's all you got to do. Don't think you have to do it all. Just start it. Just be that fire starter. Just be that little flame that starts it. And let the Holy Spirit come in. Woo! And just build it into a huge bonfire. Amen.